Is this real life?
Behold, Timmy, life, real life, a thing that we have been denied for far too long.
Welcome to the desert of the real
life. English, do you speak it?
Yeah. Welcome to another Real Life English podcast. The only podcast guaranteed to increase your English teaching abilities to that of a native. So I'm here today with the founder of Real Life English, the visionary, the man who puts the life into Real Life English, the man who started the project, who keeps the train running. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing today, Trevor?
Doing all right. So how's your Friday going?
It's going pretty well. Just had some acai.
Oh yeah, love that acai here at the Real Life English house.
Yeah,
always feel better after that, especially since it's been so hot.
Very hot. Not as hot as in other parts of Brazil, but...
Yeah. So this podcast is about your article for English Experts. And English Experts is actually the name of our internet provider or whatever. How would you say that?
It's our internet signal. I mean, what we put, like, what the neighbors see.
Yeah, so anyone that lives around us sees English Experts as our internet signal. So do you want to explain that?
So, the story is that we chose a name for Real Life English for our project, which was, at the time, a community in a small school. We were doing some small events, and the first name we came up with was English Experts, and...
Yeah, great name.
And then we decided to change names, and then later we realized that there was a really amazing blog called English Experts, and this became one of the first blogs I read a lot about. I read a lot.
Yeah, it's a really cool blog. Do you want to tell us how you first got into contact with English Experts and with Ajir and Alessandro?
I was just a fan of their website and their community, and I really respected their ability with blogging and community building.
Yeah,
definitely. And I wrote an article about them, so I really looked into their project, into Alessandro's story, And then we became friends with Ajir. We started communicating with him, mm-hmm. and chatted with him on Skype. And recently, I just chatted a little bit with Alessandro. He's a really nice guy.
Cool, yeah. I look forward to chatting with him as well.
They also have a great podcast, which I've listened to, and they have a lot to teach. So.
Cool. All right, so let's move on to the article itself. So you wrote an article about, are native English speakers really the best teachers? And so you want to tell us your inspiration for this article?
Well, just the longer I live here, I realize that people have this idea that native teachers are just way better, they're way superior. And
it's like they have a halo above their heads, like, oh, native teacher.
And there's nothing we can do to be wrong in this sense. And in some sense, I don't know if this is the best image to have. It's benefited me a lot. It's been very good.
Right. Yeah, it's good for us. So
we get lots of students. People always want to study with us.
Yeah,
but
so in a way, like, we're actually losing credibility by doing this podcast. Or we're making it harder for the rest of our native English teaching friends.
Yeah.
So,
but the more you meet Brazilians who really know how to teach, non-natives, who you realize that they know a lot, and they've learned so much through their own processes that it's really easy for them to pass that on along to their students.
Right. So what I understand is, like, your main inspiration for writing this article was to give credibility to Brazilian or other non-native English speakers.
To give credibility and recognize the differences, because there are differences.
Right. And the faults with the native speaking teachers.
Because I think there are some areas which native speakers are generally better teachers.
Naturally, but not in all areas.
Absolutely.
Cool, so we'll talk about those today. So what, just making the broad general statement, what is the most important characteristic of any English teacher?
Well, the most important characteristic of any teacher is you have to care about what you're doing, you have to be professional, be organized.
And that's like with any job you have, that's one of the most important things. You have to care.
Absolutely. And there are some people who are obviously better teachers than other people, natives or non-natives. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of wanting to teach, and I think you have to recognize as well that teach to a certain level. You don't have to be the most fluent person in the world to teach beginners, for example.
Right.
You might actually be a better teacher if you're not that fluent because you understand them more.
Yeah, you understand the process they're going through. You've been through that process more recently than someone who's maybe an expert who kind of is disassociated from the beginning process?
Absolutely. That's it. So this is the one thing that people should recognize. I find that people come to me and they don't really ask me about my methodology that much. They don't ask me about those elements about dedication, I feel, which are very much more important.
Yeah, so that's definitely something to look for when you're finding an English teacher. Do they care?
Absolutely.
Cool. So are there any more advantages of being a Brazilian or a non-native English teacher besides that beginner phase?
So I started in this article I wrote about the advantages of being a Brazilian first, because I feel like maybe Brazilian teachers aren't given the credit that they deserve. Mm-hmm. So I liked to write about that first and basically just cover those areas. Like I said, the understanding of language, it's much easier to explain a process that you've been through. Mm-hmm. Like you and I, we inherited the language from our parents, and
right.
Sometimes it's really difficult to explain grammar points and I have to go look in a book or on the internet.
Yeah, something that's like really easy and natural for me, it's like maybe I don't know how to describe it to someone else, or like I think it's easy but they don't understand. And so because I haven't been through the same process, it might be more difficult for me to explain it to them.
Absolutely. So that's the first one. Another one is cultural understanding.
Big
I think because Brazilians, I think, are much more able to teach the language using their culture. For the example I gave in the article was teaching the TH sound, like the mm-hmm. in Portuguese, that Brazilians...
Brazilian's favorite sound.
It's not an easy sound to learn, but there's a joke that actually works quite well, that Lula says, Brasileiros. The way he speaks with that TH accent is...
People from Spain.
Yeah.
Speaking Spanish.
So that's a really good... It's just a small example. Another example is that generally, like native speakers, they come here, they're not professionally trained a lot of times. They don't have like an extensive list of experience. Like mm-hmm. like most Brazilian teachers I know are really dedicated to it. They're really something that they thought a lot about, and they're really passionate about dedicating their lives to this.
Right.
Whereas it just becomes a convenient choice for a lot of native speakers.
Right. And native can be like, oh, it sounds like a good idea at the time. You know, like, oh, I could do that. That's easy. I know English.
It's really your best option. And some people, you know, get passionate about it once they start teaching, like you and I. Mm-hmm. But other people, I think, they never really find that much enthusiasm in it.
It's a low barrier of entry. Whereas for a Brazilian teacher, they need much more practice and credibility, and the process is much more refined. Whereas a native can just come here and be like, oh yeah, I'm from America, let me teach you. So they might not have the background or even like the drive or the passion of teaching English like a Brazilian or other non-native would have.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Alright, cool. So moving on, so what are advantages of being a native speaking English teacher?
I'd say, I mean, there are many on this side too, but it's important to balance them out. Like I said, one of the most significant advantages, I'm sure people will realize this, is it's really easy for us to play with the language, mm-hmm. too, because we're very comfortable and relaxed. I think we're comfortable making mistakes with our own language too. I think
right.
we recognize that we're not always going to speak perfectly the slang, that's an aspect that's really hard to map.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and going back to what you said about the playing around and not taking it so seriously, since we don't need to learn grammar, we just kind of inherit it, we don't really focus too much on it, and so that can lead to more natural flow of conversation, whereas some other people kind of get too stuck on grammar, and it can mm-hmm. kind of ruin the natural just coming out of
Yeah, that's actually, I didn't mention that in the article, but that's an area, I feel like maybe native teachers, when you're native speaking teachers, when I watch a Brazilian who speaks confidently and they're making mistakes, I don't even notice those mistakes sometimes.
Right.
Whereas a Brazilian standing there would notice those because they learn through structure and grammar. And so,
exactly.
And so maybe that might, when it's exaggerated, that might be kind of negative
yeah.
or bad.
And maybe even the grammar mistakes are actually colloquial English. Like it's been changing to where that's actually accepted as normal, as in like normal English, like using they as a non-specific gender of a single person. Like they has changed from meaning more than one person every time to now it can mean a single person who you just don't want to label as a male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And so by having this recognition of how the language is evolving, we aren't too like focused on grammar. And so like an example of this from our blog is that someone said that they had some problems with speaking. They would always freeze up when they were talking. And they said because they were so, when they were learning in school, they were so focused on grammar, grammar, grammar. But he said, after learning from Real Life English, it's really helped him relax, not worry so much about getting it, the grammar perfect, and just more focused on the communication part of it. And so that was really cool, seeing how that's helped him. And that could be one thing that a natives tend to just naturally do, because we aren't too focused on grammar since it comes naturally.
And I think today, nowadays, I think English Experts is really good about emphasizing this. It's much easier to find those opportunities to sort of see English for what it is, and it's in different contexts on the internet with technology, and it's much easier to learn like that. Mm-hmm. Like Alessandro wrote a really good guide on there about self-taught learners, who, you know, just a guide to sort of how to do it by yourself, which is possible. Mm-hmm. It takes hard work, but it's possible.
Yeah, practicing every day helps a lot.
Another advantage to being a native speaker is just a more extensive use of vocabulary and slang, which I think goes off of the playfulness of language. Mm-hmm. So I'll just sort of run through that quickly.
Also, like, as well as vocabulary, is knowledge of expressions and different meanings for the same words and stuff. Yeah. Like that.
Although, like, there are some impressive exceptions. Like, I have some friends who, like, they're just like walking dictionaries, thesauruses, because they're just full of knowledge, full of so much information, and they're teaching me words.
Right, so it's definitely not like a Brazilian couldn't reach that level, but it's just...
takes a special type of person.
Right, yeah, it's someone who's probably been studying every day for a long time, who really loves English and makes it a part of their everyday life.
Yeah, I think reading is something really big in that
definitely
sense, vocabulary.
Reading and listening to podcasts.
Yeah, and so in that sense, I think, like, there comes a point with some people who... they actually get to those really difficult to learn aspects of the language, like the slang and the unstructured parts of the language, which we just talked about, and they can actually use those and almost imitate a native, and those are really special, gifted people. And I think they're, as I mentioned in the article, those people are beyond the native or non-native question, because they probably know how to explain much better those things because they learn them step by step themselves.
They have the learning process down, they have a different perspective on it.
But few books talk about that, or any books, really, because I don't think those people are writing books.
Yeah, that's very different than the academic type of atmosphere, which tends to not change as quickly, whereas like slang and stuff changes so fast that it's kind of hard to publish a book on it because it's going to be outdated pretty soon.
Yeah. This is where blogs like English Experts and Real Life English really shine, because we can cover those new and dynamic parts of the language and the real life aspects, where textbooks and the academic approach would never touch that. It would be more difficult for them, and because that it gets outdated.
Yes, definitely.
So another advantage about native speakers is that this has nothing to do with the proficiency of the Brazilian, but the students generally feel more comfortable speaking English with a native English-speaking teacher, because there's something that just draws them to speak English, because they know that the teacher does not speak their native language, or if they speak it at all, then they know that they don't speak it as well as they do. So there's something that triggers a reaction in the student that just wants to speak English.
Right, like especially the time before and after class, where they're much more likely to greet you in English because you're a native English speaker. Or like after class where it's over and you still communicate in English. Whereas maybe if it was a Brazilian teacher, they're more comfortable just talking in Portuguese because that's what they're used to doing.
Yeah, although that's a barrier I think that you can get over.
Definitely.
Just some practice, definitely. But the final advantage which I wanted to talk about, which most Brazilians seem to think like native teachers just pass this, they transmit like perfect pronunciation, but I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because I think upper intermediate and advanced students probably benefit much, much more than beginners from that. It's really difficult for a beginner to learn pronunciation, in my opinion.
Definitely, yeah. It's not like where you need to focus either as well. It's more focused on like the communicating, as long as they can understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's more important for the more beginners.
And then once you have the structure and the use, like later on, then it's like you, I think a native teacher, a native speaking English teacher can be much more beneficial for the student than early on in the process.
Right, and not just the pronunciation, but also the rhythm and the flow of the language as well, which can be a lot more difficult to for a non-native to learn and incorporate.
Absolutely, where to cut the words,
right.
Where to run the words together,
yeah.
And listening skills, listening.
Definitely.
So, but that's about it. So in summary, that was the main inspiration of this article, was to give credit to Brazilians who know how to teach, and just say that there are a lot of native teachers who don't know how to teach, native speaking teachers who don't know how to teach, and there are a lot that do. It's an advantage in some ways, but it's a disadvantage in other ways. So people should just try to understand the situation a little bit more, and I think this article is a good start.
Yeah, just being more aware of the different factors in play, whereas being a native doesn't mean everything. Yeah, it's good in some ways, but also that's like a warning to be careful in other ways. Like, make sure they're actually dedicated, they actually care about what they're doing. They're not just doing it to make a quick dollar.
Yeah, and so, and also to just value good teachers for good teachers.
Right, because, regardless of what their native
because
speaking.
I think you're going to learn English really, really well with a good Brazilian teacher. Just the same as a good native teacher. Have to find a good teacher.
Yeah, that's the most important part. Cool. Alright, so thank you for listening to a Real Life English podcast. You can find more of our podcasts at reallifebh.com/podcast. And so we just want to give a shout out to Alessandro. Thank you for having us. Thank you for the guest post.
We are going to rule the world. Don't you know? Don't you know?
We're going to put it together. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, guys.
Now we're gonna blow out put it together. Song by Chin Maya called Rational Culture.
We gonna rule the world, don't you know, don't you know. We gonna rule the world, don't you know, don't you know. We gonna put it together.
Won't you put it together?
We're gonna put it together.